So good. So now we have a real treat. Bill Hernandez is going to share. I have known Bill. I have known Bill for about 26 years now, actually, and he oversees our prophetic teams and actually has a website where he releases prophetic words. And I know it's not just that Bill gets prophetic words for other people or, you know, for corporate groups, but Bill lives his life hearing the voice of God and really just treating God as his friend and a companion. And I don't know what he's going to teach us tonight, but I know it's going to come out of his relationship, a very authentic relationship with God. So welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. So I'm going to be sharing, and normally I put together like a really formal, you know, outline, and so I kind of felt like the Lord was just saying, just tell a couple of stories and just share from your heart. And I said, okay, I'll just pull some stuff out. So I don't know, is it okay if I tell the stories until tomorrow, you know, just kind of go on and on and on and on and on. So, okay, so I will try to keep it from going on and on and on and on and on. Okay. All right, so I just kind of felt, let me see, hold on just a minute. There's an angel that stands right here. Whoa. Get a better download here. Then, of course, I can't see my notes now, but anyway. Okay, hold on just a minute. There we go. Whoa, okay. Yeah, so how many of you get the newsletter, the Blazing Fire newsletter? How many of you are signed up for that? Okay. All right. And then, so I also have a newsletter. Not too long ago, not a newsletter, but I have a website. It's called Whisper of Love. Okay. And so I'm going to read an excerpt from it. And, pardon, who? whisperoflove.org. There's no S in there. There's no whispers of love. It's whisper of love, okay? Whisper, okay. All right, so you can go there and you can actually sign up to be on the list, and every time I publish a word, then you'll receive information. But I just, hold on just a minute. I just feel like the Lord wants to, he's like trying to tap on my head and say, hey, wait just a minute. Hold on just a second. Let me see what's going on here. So I just kind of feel like the Lord is just kind of, I felt like he really wants to do something in your hearts today. I mean, he always wants to do something in our hearts. But I felt like yesterday I was feeling something, and today I was also feeling something again. And, you know, I feel things. I experience stuff. I get words of knowledge through my emotions. The Lord will speak to me about what's going on in other people's lives through my feelings. So if I'm feeling sad, I'm thinking somebody's sad. And then, or I might be having a reaction. So yesterday I was kind of feeling kind of a cloud, a heaviness. I said, I think I know there's something going on. The Lord wants to go deep. And usually it has something to do with spiritual warfare about breakthrough. It's like there's this breakthrough that's happening, and the Lord is going to wants to break through into your heart. And the other thing is, and then this today, I was feeling sleepy. I was feeling, why am I feeling sleepy and tired? I'm feeling kind of like I just want to lie down or something. And so I was thinking, I don't think this is about people being sleepy, because I've experienced this before. And when I experience that, it's usually because people are in denial, or there's this trauma that they're compartmentalizing, some pain, some issues that they're trying to push away and just put it over here. But the thing is that thing that you're putting away is you, part of who you are. So in a way, it's kind of going to sleep, right? So I pick up the sleepiness of people's souls, of hearts. So the Lord was showing me that, and he wants to wake that up. Whoa. Whoa. Holy mackerel. Okay. Yeah, he wants to do that. So, you know, just, you know, in your hearts, you know, as I'm sharing, I'm going to pray. So, Lord, I just ask for every single person in this room, if there's areas in their lives that have gone to sleep or that have just been pushed to the side, parts of their hearts, that you want to wake up, that you would just do that for each one in this room, Lord. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are so safe, the safest place in the entire universe, and that you're here right now. I thank you for that. So I ask for grace for each one tonight, just as I'm sharing. Amen. I was, there's a scripture that the Lord was sharing with me just from this word that I had just recently published. It's called Elegant Solutions. I guess it's not recent because it was in May 6th when I got it. And there's a proverb. It says, you know, it says, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And so I just said, you know what, Lord, okay, what does that mean? So anytime I get stuff like that, anytime there's a word that the Lord gives me or a picture, I always, always ask, what does that mean? I don't immediately just assume that what he's giving me is at face value. I don't take it at face value. I always ask questions. I said, so what does that mean, Lord? And also, and I said, Lord, I pray that I don't lean on my own understanding. And that I have understanding in every place where I didn't have it. I would like to have that. But the part of the verse that stuck out was, in all your ways, acknowledge. And I have always kind of cringed at being totally open with him about every single thing. But that's been kind of my adventure, and I think all of us, has been an adventure to coming to a place of really trusting him with everything. And even though we do, and even though I do, I still find areas of my life where I don't. And that's why I say sometimes I might cringe at being totally open about any situation, if I'm mad at somebody or if I want to, you know, I don't know what. I'm upset about something. There could be any kind of area of my life that's just inconsistent, you know, with his word. You name it. But I feel like he's saying this acknowledgement thing is about full disclosure and accountability. He says, I want you to be fully accountable, and I want you to be fully disclosing to me about everything. That's what this is about. And then he was saying, and he was telling me, he said, when you do this, when you open up to me completely areas of your life that you feel really nervous about opening up, he says, basically what you're doing is you're showing me your face. And when you show me your face, I'm able to show more of my face to you. So that we are face to face. And I was just thinking, I said, wow, that's really kind of weird because my face is dirty. You know, sometimes I feel like I've got bad things and I don't want to show the Lord all that. But that's the very thing that he wants to face with. It's about honesty with him, and I feel like that. I have felt like, well, if I start to share with him about this thing or whatever it is that I'm going through or experiencing or this thing that I want to do, that he's going to confront me. He's going to confront me, and he's going to call me to task and call me to penance and all kinds of stuff and whatever, and make amends and fall before him in deep remorse over whatever I'm going through. And I just really felt like the Lord was saying that sense of being put to task, once you start being open with him, and then he starts giving you instructions on how to deal with your stuff, I felt like he said this totally unfounded. He says, because you don't know how I'm going to react. And I've always found the Lord to react with nothing but kindness and love and understanding and all patience. And he always gives me something that I never, ever thought of. I don't get what I thought he was going to give me, which is pretty much, you know, okay, it's time for you to do penance here. I remember years ago, I think many years ago when, you know, I grew up Catholic, and you would go to the confessional and you'd say, bless me, Father, for I have to go into the confessional. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. And it's been 3 weeks since I've been to my last confession, you know, when I was a teenager. And I says, and I confess that, well, I slammed the door on my mother. And I didn't eat all my vegetables like I was supposed to. I threw them in the garbage when my family didn't have much money, you know? So then the priest, he would say, okay, Dominus proboscis, te absolvo. Now go and say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers as your penance. So that was your punishment. One time, what happened was, this really did happen. One time I hadn't been to confession for a really, really long time. I said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Here, I'm like 17 years old. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been I don't know how long since my last confession. And he goes, wait, he really did say that. He goes, okay, stupid. He really did say that. He said, okay, stupid. I want you to go out there, sit in the pew, and when you've decided to tell me when your last confession was, then you come back. So I came back and said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been a year and a half since I did my last confession. So then my penance was to pray through there's these beads, a string of beads. I had to pray, every single bead was a prayer. And there's like 60 prayers on that thing. That was my penance, right? So I think part of my anxiety of coming to the Lord that, you know, okay, I bring this thing to him, I'm going to have to pay some kind of price for whatever it is that I'm dealing with. And that's not true at all. And so I felt like acknowledging him, he was showing me, he says acknowledging him was about relationship, friendship, safety, and security, and even companionship. It just kind of went through my head. And in this warm, safe place, the Lord gives us his perspective and solutions. And sometimes maybe he might not even give you solutions. All he'll do is just give you the warm fuzzies and just kind of hold you, you know? And you just have this peace around you. Or all of a sudden the telephone will ring and someone will say, hey, I want to take you to this like expensive dinner. I don't know why, I just wanted to. Just something nice. And you go, what? Wow. And so this gives him a chance to be kind and uplifting. That's his face that he shows to us. You know, he picks us up in ways that are meaningful to us. So here's a little story. You want me to tell you a little story? Yeah, all right. To illustrate this thing. Okay. So here I was. I was at the ocean. I like going to the ocean a lot. So I was at Point Reyes National Seashore. I was at Drake's Bay, Drake's Beach. And there was not a soul. There was a couple of souls, but they were far away. And then there were some of the fish that are called souls. But anyway, but that was about it. I mean, the place was just really abandoned, really. And I was there all by myself. And it's just so beautiful, and just so the waves are just very gentle. They're almost like aquamarine, like an aquamarine color, so crystal clear. And the beautiful white cliffs, and there's the clouds, everything. So I'm there, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I tell him, I said, Lord, you know what? There has not been any joy in my life. When I review my entire life, I would just say that there really hasn't been much joy, not much joy at all. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think that I've been very happy most of my life. Now, just so that you know, I go black and white with the Lord. I go from one extreme to the other. And I was in that place, the extreme of like, obviously there were happy moments in my life, but the thing was that at this moment, it's kind of like the Lord was, or the Holy Spirit was just activating inside of me, just digging up this thing that was inside of me. And I was just saying, I don't remember anything happy. I remember a picture of me when I was 4 years old, and I was in, and it was a birthday. You know, if you're on Facebook, you know, and you can go to see my picture, and you'll see there's this little boy sitting at this table, and he looks so happy. I was 4 years old, and I was very happy, very happy. But from that point on, everything just kind of went sour, as far as what I was concerned. Just a lot of trauma in kindergarten. You know, I had language issues because I spoke nothing but Spanish, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm plunged into kindergarten. I don't think they even had a program, so I barely understood half the instructions that they were giving us. And so then after that, there was just a lot of other issues and problems, a lot of rejection, a lot of disrespect, a lot of even hate, a lot of judgments, you know, just over and over and over again. And that's just the tip of the iceberg for my life, because my life goes very deep, and I'm not going to go into that part, but let me tell you, the iceberg is like, goes deep, and maybe some other day I'll be sharing even deeper, but I've experienced a lot of trauma in my life. And so as a result, after that, I've just become more and more sensitive with the relationships that I had with people in leaderships, people that are my bosses, supervisors, people I work with, anyone that I interacted with. It was always kind of like it would all come to a dead end, you know, a disappointment, some kind of a pain, someone said something bad. So there was always this in the background, just feeling kind of like blah, you know, but I didn't know that the blah was there. I just did, you know, I thought it was gone, but I actually buried it. And so the thing is that during, in my teens and early 20s, I remember being very severely depressed, very, very, very depressed, clinically depressed. And then I went to college, and something happened there. The Lord just kind of broke it off of me. And so I wasn't having this debilitating episodes of depression anymore. But nevertheless, it was still coming out in other areas of my life. I had anger issues and that kind of stuff. But that's like the flip side of depression, right? So every once in a while, about every 6 months, I would just blow my stack. It's because I was just always performing and people-pleasing and more until finally I just blew my stack because I just couldn't take it anymore. And then I would feel horrible and terrible about myself. But anyway, so over the years, you know, things have been fine, but nevertheless, this thing was buried. And here I was a couple of months ago there on the beach processing this with the Lord. And I think probably what pushed me over the edge was basically experiencing and knowing about at least 26 deaths since the beginning of last year, including family members, my own family members. And that just even more recently, I think at the beginning of this year, a former sister-in-law had passed away. And so I said, yet another memorial. This coming Saturday, I'm going to another memorial. This coming Saturday. So it's kind of like, wow, people are leaving. I'm being abandoned. Either friends are going away. If it's not one damn thing, it's another damn thing. I go, my goodness. I said, but I'm serious with the Lord, just very, very serious, very almost kind of monotone. It's been a joyless life, like, Lord, it just really has. And I just have to be honest, you know, about this. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I know that in growing up in Christian circles and stuff, you wanted to be positive confession. You don't want to say anything negative. It's always going to be positive. You don't want to do this negative confession because it'll come upon you. And if you do, your goose is cooked. And then later on, it'll be even worse. But anyway, so that kind of a thing. It's always kind of like, oh, thank you, God, for everything. For, you know, you're not chopped liver. I liked it when you paid my bill that time and you saved my life over this other thing. And I'm just so grateful and joyful. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. But it wasn't like that at all. I just said, you know what, I'm just not gonna play this politically correct Christian confession to the Lord. I'm just gonna be real, and I just did it. I said, there. So there you go. And I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm just going to trudge back to the car. And then this is when the Lord, he spoke. This was that song, you know, I cried to the Lord and he answered me. The song that you were singing, Todd, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard my cry and he answered me. So that song. And so that thing. And so the Lord said, I hold everything together in the universe. Everything that you see around you, I'm in it, I'm around it, I hold it all together. I created it. The sun and the stars and the moon, the ocean, the sand, the clouds, all these beautiful things that you see around you. Imagine it as being my hand, and you are in my hand. In my creation, and this is my hand putting my arms around you and comforting you with this beauty that's surrounding you. I never expected that. Wow. I'm just going, wow, this is amazing. And I just felt like at that moment, like the entire universe was hugging me. All of the universe was hugging me, and it was God. So I go, wow, this is really amazing. Of course, I didn't break down blubbering and crying like a big baby or anything like that. Even if I did, it wouldn't be because I was a big baby, but I didn't feel that way. I was just still saying, okay, that's really interesting information, Lord. This is really awesome. I was awed, and I walked back to the car, but also feeling like, we'll see where this goes, as it's always gone before. The glory fades, the joy fades, or the inspiration fades. I'm just going to go back home, you know? But I feel different. There's something different. I felt something was different. Something happened. Something clicked in the universe and in my heart, and I don't know what was going around me. There's all these problems and issues. I kind of felt like with my apartment and my neighbors around me, situations, all that was bumming me out. On top of everything else was bumming me out. And I was also, there's this eucalyptus tree, big giant eucalyptus tree that grew up so fast that it completely obscured my view of Mount Tam from my deck. I used to love to see that, and this vista, this valley. Imagine, I'm looking through this valley and there's Mount Tam in all its glory. And it was completely obscured by this tree. And that, I think it was around that time after this, the wind was blowing a lot every day. And then all of a sudden, a giant branch broke off of that eucalyptus tree and fell into the neighbor's yard. So no one was hurt, but one of those branches, imagine, 75-foot high branch went boom. That's like a couple of tons. That's enough to crack a swimming pool, wipe out a dining room and a whole backyard, or kill somebody. So within a few days, they removed the tree completely. And I have this absolutely glorious view of Mount Tam. I just can't believe my eyes. I go, oh, wow. And it just kind of added this little bit of joy, just a little bit, something there. And then all of a sudden, these situations with my neighbors, my environment, relationships, all of a sudden everything just started clicking and started changing, and everything is better. And any kind of situations where I was irritated, I said, you know what, I don't have time to be irritated. I just let it go. Who cares? I don't care. And whereas before I get all worked up, right? Tempest in a teacup over all of these things. And my job situation, you know, my work, I wasn't getting clients. All of a sudden, one client after another, I keep getting clients. And then all of a sudden, the Lord gave me this huge job, which is a lot of money that I've been working on. I just finished it. That was another thing. So there's all these little things, all these little perfect moments. I go to the store and discover there's this item at Costco that, oh my gosh, this thing is on sale here, and at Safeway, it costs like $12 a pound. And here it's only $4.69 a pound. Whoa, I never knew this was here. But it's like all of a sudden, it's kind of like there's life around me. I'm feeling life around me. And so I'm feeling alive. So I'm feeling alive. And I still feel like there's that part of me, there's still parts of me that were the broken parts, the hurt parts, or the joyless parts. But the thing is that I feel like I'm just kind of resting in this hammock, and this hammock is God's hand. And I'm just resting there, and he's taking me on this ride and just keeps adding layers of contentment and joy and fulfillment in ways that really mean something to me. I go, wow. I never expected that, for just being open with him. Anyway, So there you have it with that. Yay, God. Yes. So there I was. I was honest and open with him. So you want me to tell you another story? All right. Here's another story of me sharing something with him and just getting down to the brass tacks, right? So this was for a word that I haven't published yet. I don't know that I will. I may or may not. Maybe I will. And so I'll pray about it. And so, I shared with him, Lord, I have a fear. I'm not taking any questions right now. If you have a question, I can answer your question later. So I shared my fear with him about being condemned to outer darkness when I come before him. That when I pass away, that though I know again and again I'm saved by the blood and all that, we're going to live forever, I said, you know what? I'm not going to be politically correct about this, Lord. There is a part of me where I'm just thinking when I appear before you that there's going to be a trap door. There's going to be this big lever, and he's going, eh, you know, and pull the lever, and away you go. Because I kind of blew it somewhere or something. I don't know what. I know it's irrational. And I was thinking, I know that this is irrational, Lord. But then this is what the Lord showed me when I opened that up to him. And I said this to him. Imagine, here I'm saying this, but this is a question that I asked him on May 11th. This is last month. How long have I been ministering and pastoring? And I kind of felt, this is important for you to hear. I says, because we're all human beings and we're all dealing with stuff, you know? So just because I'm up here doesn't necessarily mean I'm mature in all my ways. Certainly not. Excuse me. But here is this little thing. Here is this little thing. I'm sorry, I'm not going to take any questions right now until later. But here's this little thing. And he told me, he said, you know what? Your fear about that is, in so many words, he said, it's pretty much PTSD. And what is PTSD? So you know what it is, post-traumatic stress syndrome, right? And so post-traumatic, yes, right. So the thing is, he said, in this world, just think about it. We just had this conversation about the joy and all the condemnation, and you've been experiencing all this trauma and people just kind of treating you badly and saying things to you and treating you in horrible ways. It's amazing how disrespectful people can be towards one another and towards people that they don't even know. But the thing was that the Lord was showing me, he says, you've been so traumatized that you have this PTSD. It's kind of lodged in you. And so you're seeing the world through that. And so this is why you feel that, you know, in the end you're going to be condemned. It's because you're still experiencing that condemnation from the world around you and the people around you and the situations around you. You've just been conditioned. And that's why that little thing is in there in that little compartment in your heart that's off here to the side. Because it was off to the side, but the Lord just kind of brought it to the forefront. The Lord loves bringing things to the forefront. I said, okay. And so I felt, and then he went on to say, he said, all of that, the world tried to condemn him. And he said, but it was a failed attempt. It was a failed attempt. And then he was also telling me, he said, and because you are in me, anything that the world has tried to do to separate you from my love or anything like that is a failed attempt and will always fail forever and ever and ever. And that our relationship is permanent. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That means that you're not going to be left behind. That means you're not going to be abandoned. You're not going to be rejected. And so I'm just going to read it here. It says, the work on the cross is him taking upon himself the condemnation of the world that was upon me, meaning I am safe in him because he is on top. He is God forever, God of life. And the cross did not kill him because he's still alive, and since he is alive forever, so am I. I'm alive forever. And the good news is the world fails to condemn. That's the good news. And so he just showed me, I never saw it from that point of view, that it was a failed attempt. There's to separate me. So I'm going to read the scripture here. So that's how he answered that. So I learned something. It's not that I learned anything new. It's just that he just was able to inject deeper into an area of my life where I've been traumatized. So I don't believe that my goose is cooked. Not anymore. Unless it comes up again, but I don't know. There was something about it that a switch turned it off. That feeling that I'm just wondering if maybe he's going to get me on a technicality. You know, when I get up there, I gotcha, and then pull the lever. You know, and there I go. You know, down the drink. But there's no technicality here. Because I'm in him forever. So I'm just going to read a couple of scriptures here. Just kind of wrap it up. It says, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Did I not receive mercy and grace? Have I not, and will I not continue? Romans 8:38 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Psalm 103, verse 8 through 14. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Obviously, here is in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in 1 John 1:5 through 7, it says, this is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So this part, but if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. I used to think, okay, I have to walk in the light with you, which means I have to confess my sins to you and whatever, and that's not going to happen, you know? And so that must mean that I must be doing something wrong as a Christian, and I'm actually harboring secret, unconfessed stuff from you and you and you. But the thing was that that's not how I see this. Is I said, this part, if I walk in the light as he is in the light, in other words, I'm open face to face with him. He says, I'm going to show my face. I'm going to just, here it is, in all my glory, Lord, you know. And then he shows me his glory, and I have fellowship with him. With one, we're having fellowship with one another. That's kind of how I interpret this from one angle. But I have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, and with the Father. And but what's really interesting, that it eventually comes to a point when I'm doing that, that I get the confidence and the ability to be able to share that thing with you too, just like I did today. So now I have fellowship with you, and you have fellowship with me, because I've given you a little bit of insight into some of the stuff that I'm processing, right? So we have fellowship with one another. But it was my chose to walk in the light with the Lord. And there's just something about that light that produces unity and grace and acceptance and instruction for all of you. Because in my testimony, here I am, I'm a living epistle. I'm telling you my story. This is my story, and this is what I learned, and this is what I've seen, and this is what I've heard from the Lord, right? Are you not encouraged?
Yes.
Yes. So it's this confession, you know, this openness before the Lord turns into a gift for each of us, for all of us in this room. So that's what's really kind of cool. So do you want to hear a few little tidbits about the other side? Stories from the other side, little revelations, little tidbits. These are little things, appetizers, as it were. One time I was telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, when I get to come to be with you, I know that there's nothing but comfort there, and, you know, joy and grace and comfort. And then Laura said, do you know what that means? Do you know what comfort means? Do you know what that means? I go, Lord, what does it mean? What does comfort mean? And so, and he said, that means you're going to be comfortable forever. I go, oh, wow. And I was just thinking about, I don't know why, I just kept, at that moment when he said that, I was thinking about my favorite easy chair that's like really comfortable, and you just kind of just settle into this comfortable place, but it's forever. So that was a little tidbit. Another one, he showed me a vision of one of the pearly gates to Jerusalem, you know. I just had this vision. And there's these steps that go up, and then there's this huge, huge gate. And it just went up like, I don't know how many, hundreds of feet, hundreds and hundreds of feet. It was so gigantic, and I got really close, and I could tell. I said, this is like, it's either mother of pearl, but it's pearl. And it's all made out of pearl, but it was also covered with this beautiful filigree, gold and silver and jewels and everything, so that this whole gate in itself was a jewel. It was a jewel. And there's like, how many gates? Are there 12 of these things? So there's these 12 massive jewels surrounding the New Jerusalem, as it were. But what was really kind of cool is I'm looking up and up and up, and I could see the tops of the walls. And up there, I just saw streamers and parties, people partying and cheering. That's what I saw. Pretty cool, huh? I know. So that's another little tidbit. So I've also asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what's going to happen when I die? You know, what's that like? Because I don't know what's going to happen? So then one day he just said, you know, when you come to be with me, it's actually, you know, when you walk from one room to the other, like you close the door, he says, that's what it's going to be like. Is you're going to walk and step into a new world, and the door will be closed, and you won't be able to go back through it. He says, and that's exactly what it's going to be like. I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go, wow. I go, that's amazing. And then another time I'm sitting in my backyard, and the Lord shows me again. He says, this is what it's going to be like. And I saw all of a sudden it was as if everything that I was looking at was a two-dimensional photo. Have you ever looked at a photograph of a scenery? And you're looking at it and you say, wow, this is a beautiful scenery. So my whole backyard, everything, the trees, the Mount Tam, you name it, the whatever, it's all looks like a three-dimensional image. And then the Lord peeled it back. And on the other side was the kingdom was there. I think I just saw a beautiful green hills, rolling hills, or I don't know what, you know, and just, it's like he peeled it back. I go, it's right here. The kingdom is right here. And I was looking at my hand. I said, where is it there? I kept doing that because I just felt it. So imagine, I think that this is kind of like an activation in my spirit, you know, in my mind, and he's showing me this kind of a thing. A couple of weeks ago, I'm driving to church, and I'm just talking to the Lord, and I'm just marveling. I said, wow, this is so cool to be able to talk to you. It's like you're my BFF, you know. And, oh, you know, another thing, this joy thing, right, is I'm finding myself, I don't call him the Lord very much anymore. I call him friend. Before I says, good morning, Lord, it's more like, or good night, Lord. Now it's like, good night, friend. Or if I have a question, I said, friend, I have an issue that we need to talk about, friend. So I'm always talking to him like that. So here I'm driving, I'm just talking to the Lord. I said, this is so cool, Lord, to be able to talk like this with you and have this relationship with you. And, you know, and then the Lord said, you know, this is the kingdom. What you're experiencing now is you being in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom now, you and I. And this will continue on more and more and more and more and more until you leave this earth. But it will still be the same. It has begun. What you have now is the beginning. It has begun. Your salvation, your life with me forever. This is permanent. This BFF thing is permanent forever and ever. You're going to continue to have it. It's never going to go away. Like the people that have passed away, friends that have walked away, friends that have abandoned you. This is forever, forever kingdom. I'm just kind of going, whoa. I go, wow. Wow, so this isn't ever going to go away. You know, and this is something that he showed me one time when I almost died. And he said, the most important thing in life is intimacy with me. He says, because everything else can be taken from you, including your body. But this will always remain, you and I together. And so he's kind of reiterating that and just kind of making it richer for me. Anyway, so there you go. A few little tidbits. So anyway, let me see. Is there any more? Well, there's a lot. But anyway, some of them are scary. But anyway, so I'm planning on compiling some of these little tidbits, you know, that the Lord shows me, and just putting them into and publishing it on my website eventually. And so, what I'd like to do is I'm going to pray for you right now. Is that okay? Can I pray for you? All right. So, Father, I ask right now, I ask Holy Spirit that you would come to each person. If you've activated something, a little compartment that's been hidden, that they've been afraid to just bring to you, I ask that you would just touch it right now and that you would visit that with them, if not now, later on today, later on tonight or tomorrow in their quiet time, that each person could have that intimate moment with you over issues that they've been afraid to just bring up or didn't know that was there, that just needed to be taken care of, or residue that they weren't aware of that was still there. And I feel like the Lord is saying, it doesn't matter even if you've had it for 50 years. It doesn't matter. We will always continue to process it together. And I am not impatient. And I feel like he's saying, I will go around the mountain with you over that again and again and again, because I have a lot of mountains. I have bazillions of mountains that you and I can go around and around and around that stuff, because we're going to work it out. We have all the time in the world. And I feel like he's saying, you have nothing to be ashamed of. If you feel that you've been working on something that you feel like you've beat it like a dead horse and you haven't gotten anywhere with it, well, tell me that you've been beating a dead horse and you're getting tired of it. Just be honest with me. Give it to me. Let's talk about it. And let me give you my perspective. And I feel like he's saying, and even if my perspective is just a big hug of peace that lasts with you every day and every moment that you wake up and every time that you go to sleep, I feel like he's saying it doesn't always, the healing or the resolve isn't always cognitive. That's a lot of it is just emotional. I feel like he's saying some of it is just an experience. You're experiencing peace inside. I'm just talking to your emotion, not to your brain, but to your being. I just feel like what the Lord has been giving me is well-being after sharing with him about the joylessness. So now I'm beginning to feel, wow, this is what it feels like to have well-being. And so I ask, Lord, for each one in here that you would increase well-being in all the secret places, in all the secret hurts, and all the secret brokenness, and all the secret unconfessed stuff or unopened stuff. I release well-being into that right now. Thank you, Jesus. And I also release upon you just the ability to easily enter into a place of light, of walking in the light, face to face with the Lord over everything. I loose an ease to that it would be easy to flow into that regularly without fear, without any kind of nervousness or anxiety, without any shame. And Lord, I also ask also just for the PTSD from being just traumatized, generally traumatized just by life in general, for that PTSD that's even settled, you know, in the brainstem, in their bodies, that you would just begin to loosen that, Lord, and just heal that. And heal that memory from their body, that body memory just from all that trauma built up, that they would be released. Whoa, I just feel like he's doing it right now. Wow. It's releasing your bodies from a lifetime of just maybe low-grade trauma. And heaviness and disappointments and sorrows and judgments and even from attacks from the enemy. Father, I ask that you would remove the poison darts of the enemy also that would just try to sour lives, that you would just pull those darts out right now. Pull them out. Neutralize the poison. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. There's something about your face, Lord, that's unexpected. And what's unexpected is how present you are and how gentle you are. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. And so concludes my talk.
Thank you, Bill. So I encourage you, if you feel like the Lord is still doing something on the inside, to not just jump up and do something, okay? Permission. You didn't really need permission, but you have permission to just be and breathe and say, yes, I receive, and let it go deeper. Okay.